This is Victory House.
This morning, I want to continue in these are prevailing prayers that we've been talking about. And I want to talk about what I call atmosphere of prayer. Atmosphere of prayer. The young man that started was almost going to preach my sermon. I was like, wow. He said what Pastor Yi said. I've not even said some of the things that he said. So I just know that God has something for us here this morning. Let's open our Bibles to Luke. Luke chapter 18. The book written by the Dr. Luke. So not only are there people who were fishermen and some people we think people that followed Jesus, all of them didn't know anything. There were people that were very learned, that were followers of Jesus. Paul was a lawyer. Luke, a doctor. So there are wise men and intellectual people follow Jesus. Luke 18, I thought you were opening it for us. Okay, thank you, media. Luke 18, the Bible says, and he speak a parable unto them to this end. A parable is an illustration that gives a specific truth. A parable will look like a story in our present world. He speak a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. Remember, that was the last thing the gentleman said. He said, we are not the people that give up. Men always ought to pray. And just so you know, we didn't compare notes. I didn't even know. I knew he was going to speak, but that was all. They just told me he was going to speak, and that's it. But the Bible is telling us, and we've heard this morning, first of all, and then we're hearing it again. Men always ought to pray and not to faint. Verse 2 says, saying, there was in the city a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversaries. Verse 4, and he would not for a while, but afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, or troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by a continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. And shall not God avenge his own elect? Question. Shall not God fight for his own people? Question. Shall not God show up for his own people? Question. Shall we call the one that made the ears, the one that made the mouth, shall we begin to call him and he will not answer us? Will he pretend to be deaf? Will he pretend to be dumb? The Bible says no. He says, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Verse 8, the last verse. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Can somebody say speedily? Speedily. Oh, can somebody say speedily? Speedily? I pray for somebody that will say amen this morning. That this week you will enjoy speed. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. There are sometimes you get some things eventually. But why not get it early? There are sometimes people will get their children. There are sometimes people will get the job after so long. But God can accelerate. God is a God of acceleration. God can bring what should have come since. He can accelerate it. He's the God that can make the mother of nobody, somebody that was barren, to become mother of seven in just a short time. I declare that God will accelerate things in your favor. In the name of Jesus. Say, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? I need to say some things just to clarify as we move on in this our journey of prayer. That we need to understand that prayer does not change God. We need to settle that. Because sometimes you may hear what we are not saying, that it seems as if prayer will change God. No, prayer doesn't change God. God is constant. In the equation of life, God is the only constant. God does not change. God is the same. God remains the same. The Bible said in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, I am the Lord God. I change not. I don't change. I don't change. I'm constant. I remain the same. In fact, James chapter 1 and 17, James chapter 1, number 17, the Bible says, all good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of life, in whom there is no variableness or shadow due to change. Shadow is caused by variation in light. But if light is constant, there will be no shadow. That's why when you come under the sun, it seems that when you are fully under the sun, there will be no shadow because the light is perfect, is enough. But shadows happen with variation. God does not cast shadow. God does not change. And prayer doesn't change him. So if prayer doesn't change God, why do we waste our time praying? Why do we pray? What prayer does is prayer changes you. Prayer changes you. You heard in that story of the gentleman. He said all through that season, prayer was working on him. Prayer was changing him. Let me say this to you. The frequency of God is there. When we pray, prayer gets us to that frequency. We align to that frequency. I know there's a phenomenon in science called, what is this now? Resonance. Okay, so people know that I talk about resonance. Resonance. Resonance is a phenomenon. Let me just use layman terms to talk about it. That a lower frequency catches with another frequency and something happens afterward. That is what happens with prayer. Prayer is like we are catching up to God. God is on this height. God is on this realm. And through prayer, we advance to that realm. We enjoy that realm. We come into that realm. We partake of divine nature. We partake of the fullness of what God has. So prayer does not change God. Prayer changes me. Prayer changes you. That's what prayer does. And that's why you should even engage in it. Because the more you do engage in prayer, the better you yourself become. Sometimes people think that when they pray, it's what they get from prayer that they really get. No, prayer really, the process of prayer is preparing you and working on you. Eventually, the major thing you get from prayer is not even the thing you are praying for, it's the you that has emerged. It's the you that is better. It's the you that is more connected to God. It's the you that is now in more fellowship with God. And that's why prayer is not like a system of getting things from God. Because some people, that's the all that they know about prayer. It's like a system. A system where you put in one and then you get two. It's like ATM machine. You go there and you slot in the right numbers, or you put in your card and or you flash your phone and then you put in your PIN and then you say withdraw and then it gives you money. That's how some people look at prayer. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. Prayer is a system of connecting to God. And so the major thing that happens in prayer is that prayer changes you. So that means that the major thing that happens in the place of prayer is empowerment. You become empowered. The Bible says in Psalm 24 and verse 10, Psalm 24 verse 10, it says, if you fail in the days of adversity, little is your strength. That means failure in life is a strength failure. People don't fail in life because failure is possible or failure is available. People fail because their strength fails. When Jesus was praying for Peter, you know what he was praying for Peter was? He said, I have prayed for you that your faith faileth not, or that you are strengthened, that your strength will not fall. That means that when we come into the place of prayer, we mount up power. We gain power. We are empowered. It's as if we are like magnets, and when we come into the place of prayer, the magnetic properties that we have in us is enhanced. Therefore, we can magnetize more things. That's what happens in prayer. That's why the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, it says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength or recharge their batteries. In this house, we usually use rechargeable batteries for many of our equipment. And after the service, somebody will go put those batteries into the charger and to make sure that the next service, those batteries are ready for use. And that's what happens to your phone too, when your phone is about to die. And that's why some people are always carrying cable all over the place. When they come to church, the first thing they are looking for is, where is the charging port? Amen. The Lord help you. So that's the next thing they are looking for. Because they want to put more power or replenish the power that is. That's what prayer does. It replenishes the power in us. Because there is something about that strength. It makes you to stand. Because the days of adversity will come.
The days of adversity is not an if, it is a when. It will come. Everybody faces adversity. Everybody has one affliction or the other. My affliction may be different from yours, but as long as we are in this world, we have one affliction or the other. We have one thing or the other. There is something that we are dealing with. But you see, what will help you to deal with this thing is the strength. That's why you come to the place of prayer. You muster strength. You gather energy. You gain strength. I declare concerning somebody listening to me this morning, strength will be renewed in you in Jesus' name. So prayer is all about strength. And so to make this happen, you need to understand that you need to create atmosphere that allows prayer to flow. Atmosphere that allows prayer to operate. Atmosphere that allows prayer to not just operate, but operate continually. Have prayer happening more than when you have a problem. Have prayer happening more than when issues are not going your way. Have prayer happening as a way of life. Because the book of Luke chapter 18 that we just read said that men always ought to pray and not to what? Give up. Not to faint. Not to stop. Not to do some other things. But keep on praying. Let me talk about some negative atmospheres that people can have around their lives. Negative atmosphere that can affect prayer negatively. That won't allow prayer to operate. Number one, worry. Oh, worry is an atmosphere. Worry is an atmosphere, and worry can snuff out the air in a room. Worry can stop out the energy in a life. Worry is a down payment of something you will never own. You are paying, you know, when you go to some of these stores, I don't know if they still do a lot of that, layaways. And I think it's Kmart that was very good with that. I don't even know. Is there still Kmart? I think there is still Kmart somewhere. See, some people don't even know Kmart. They're like, what's Kmart? There's Kmart, right? There's still Kmart. Or they have completely gone. Jesus is Lord. But the Kmart used to do this, I know. And I think some stores may still be doing. Maybe Burlington's does it. You do what they call layaway. You come and you say, I like this jacket. I'm going to put $5 down. And then I'll get it once. I'll come back and I'll keep giving you more money until I pay for it, and then I'll take the jacket. But what they do is that they take it from the shelf. What worry does is that worry does that. But the problem with worry is that it never gives it to you. You keep paying for this thing. You keep paying for it. You keep doing layaway, but you never lay hold on it. So worry is a down payment for something you will never own. Worry tries to convince you that you need to be responsible. You know, have you heard that before? I need to be responsible. I need to think about my life. I'm not against thinking. I'm not against being concerned and responsible for your life. But Matthew chapter 6 from verse 25. Matthew chapter 6 from verse 25. Let's read some verses from there. Matthew 6 from verse 25. I need to run now. Jesus is Lord. Look at what Jesus said. This is Jesus himself. Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. And these are the categories of what people worry about. People that are in this room, if somebody is not hearing me, even if he's listening, looking at me now, and he's not hearing me, the reason he's not hearing me is why Jesus is what Jesus is saying now. Because he's thinking about this. What shall I eat? There are people listening to me now. What am I going to have for lunch? What's going on for lunch today? Is it pizza? Is it this? Is it that? Even me, I like to be spiritual, but sometimes in church, I'm thinking, what am I going to eat this afternoon? I'm thinking like that. I'm thinking, what am I going to eat? And then they go on, what shall we drink? What shall we drink? The basic necessity of life. What shall I eat? What shall I drink? Then there's another one. What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Oh, the ladies, amen. The ladies, what shall we wear? When I just got married, I didn't even know those vocabulary. When your wife comes to you and say, I have no clothes. I didn't know what that meant. Because I thought I have no clothes meant you go to the wardrobe and you count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. This is 10 clothes. But I have no clothes means I don't have a new clothes. For example, maybe we are going for a dinner. My wife says, I don't have anything to wear there. Ah. I'm like, are you kidding me? You wore something last week. I wore it last week, you know? And then I had this for my sister back a while ago. Like, no, I've used that one to take a picture. So please don't take my picture. Or don't put my picture on Instagram. Have you heard that before? Oh, I've used that on Instagram before. And people will just be wondering that, is this the only clothes I have? I don't even care. But you know, after she said that, me too, I've started caring small. Because sometimes I will remember that, I think this shirt, for me, the way I wear my clothes is, if I enter the wardrobe, I just see myself in this gray suit. And I'm like, this shirt works. And it's clean. That's how I dress. I don't think too much about it. But I know some people, they think so much. There's nothing bad in looking good. There's nothing bad in planning how you look and, you know, looking the part and all of that kind of thing. But there is something bad if you preoccupy your mind with that. And you worry. You'll be surprised. You worry. What shall we eat? You worry. How will my life go? You worry when you've come to church, when you should relax and rejoice in the Lord. You are clapping like this and you're like, Jesus is good. Some people, they are so lost in thought. When you touch them, like you say, they are lost in thought. Why? They are worried. And Jesus is saying this morning, you don't have to worry. Look at your neighbor, tell them, say, you don't have to worry. Pastor, is that not being irresponsible? No. Cast your what? Worries on him. Put your worries on him. So a negative atmosphere is an atmosphere of worry. Catch yourself when you are worried. Because worry has a way it starts to talk. There are some ways worry comes. Or you hear that this is worry. All my mates. You know, we're about to go on that worry lane. All my mates have gone. We're about to go. All my mates have children. It's that worry lane. And the devil wants to show you what you don't have. He wants to remind you what you have not yet achieved. He wants to remind you of what you don't have now. And like I said, worry is a down payment for something you will never own. So what you can do to worry is to counter worry with what you already have. Oh, yeah. So sometimes when the devil says you don't have it, let him know what you have. I have life. You don't have children. I have husband. Amen. It's somebody that has husband that will have children. Amen to that. Oh, you don't have a job, but I have a degree. I have a certificate. I am qualified to work somewhere. Remind the devil what you have so that he will get away and know that what you don't have, you will soon have it. I want you to tell somebody, say, what I don't have now, that is mine. I will soon have it in the name of Jesus. So worry is a big deal, sir. It is a big deal. People will come to church, they will hear the word of God, but they are still worried. They are still worried. They are still anxious. They are still wondering when, how. Lord, how will you do this immigration matter? This pastor is just having sweet mouth, trying to be rhyming words and saying prevailing prayer is personal. Prevailing prayer is powerful. Prevailing prayer is passionate. Prevailing prayer is persistent. Is that how it happens? Is that how? I mean, let's face real life. Have you heard that before? But I want to tell you, you don't have to worry. Tell your neighbor, say, you don't have to worry. Most times that I have worried, I have found out that it didn't help me. In that scripture that I read, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, how many of you have been able to achieve anything by worry? That's what he was asking. He said, how many people, when they started worrying about how tall they were, you know, people started worrying about how tall or short they are. You know, they want to look taller on Instagram, look shorter, look slimmer. Some people have filters that they will put, they will look thinner, you know, on Instagram. And if they just want to look the part and just look very thin. You know, Jesus said, when you worry, you don't change nothing. Worry changes nothing. What worry does is it complicates everything. Worry does not change anything. And I've come to encourage somebody this morning to tell him, don't worry. Be happy. Remember that song? Don't worry, be happy. Just don't worry. Put your trust in this God. He will deliver for you in the name of Jesus. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4, 6. The Bible says, do not be anxious. Do not worry. Be worry is to be anxious, to make your heart to race, your mind to be overworking, because the devil is speaking to you. I've told you here before, don't listen to yourself, speak to yourself. In the days when worry begins to say something to you, the devil is using one issue to say something to you. You talk to yourself. You know how you can take captive of thought? Jesus said, take no thought, saying. So we take thoughts by saying. So when thoughts are coming to you, the thoughts of worry, because you know they are negative atmosphere, they contaminate the atmosphere of prayer, you say back to them. You speak back to the worry. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. But in everything by prayer. If your day has been good, by prayer. If your day has not been good, by prayer. If you are excited, by prayer. If you are not excited, by prayer. Not by worry. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication. Let your request be made known unto God. Don't worry. It doesn't matter how bad it is. Listen to me. There is nothing too bad that God has not solved before. That's one of the things I used to console myself. This is the devil. One of the major tools of the devil is to make what you are going through now to look like it's bigger than every other thing. It tells you, nobody has, we have not heard this before. This hasn't happened before. I mean, there's nobody. This is unique to you. But if you want to mess up the devil, get him angry, commonize anything that he's doing in your life. Look at it and say, is that the best you can do? No job? Is that the best? I know it is hard. I know it may not be the easiest thing to do. But if you give yourself to God, it is possible to look at what the devil is doing and look at it like a child's play. The devil hates it. You get him mad. He wants you to be focused on it. He wants you to be under pressure, under the atmosphere of worry. There are people under the atmosphere of worry. When they are walking, you know they are carrying worry. It's like their cross. Some people will say, I have carried my cross. And when they are saying they are carrying their cross, it's worry. Worry is their cross. Worry is not your cross. Amen to that. In fact, if there was any cross, Jesus has carried the cross. Jesus did not ask you to carry your cross. He said you should bring your cross to him. And then he will give you something to carry. And what he has given you to carry are things like praying. Amen? So don't come and say, I'm carrying my cross, and then it's worry. Be anxious for nothing. Because worry is a negative atmosphere, and it will not help your prayer life. So get rid of worry. Another negative atmosphere of prayer is unbelief. Unbelief sounds like a big word, but let me use a smaller word to define it. Lack of expectation. When we pray, whether personally or in congregation, wherever we are, we need to be expectant that we will receive. When we pray, it does not matter what you're asking for, because there are sometimes people are praying, they are just doing what I call lip service. They are not giving their heart to it. So it's almost like they don't believe anything will happen. They will tell Pastor E, are you sure? Are you really, really sure? Don't get my hopes high. Don't get me started. Don't get my hopes high. I am sure. I'm sure of the word of God. I'm sure that heaven and earth can pass away, but the word of God will remain the same. Can somebody say amen to that? Mark 11, chapter 23 says, what things soever you ask in prayer, believe or expect to see results. Expectation is the mother of manifestation. The earnest expectation of the creature is waiting for manifestation. When there is expectation, manifestation is inevitable. Expectation. You need to be expectant. When you come to the place of prayer, be expectant. This Friday, I'm inviting every one of you here. Come. You will see answers to prayer live in the name of Jesus. We are going to be praying on Friday. Pray more, express ourselves in God. And when you are coming for that service, come with expectation. Come ready to receive answers. Not just come and say, well, I just came to attend service. No, come to get something. There is something about expectation. There are many times people show up at Jesus' meeting. Some of them just show up for showing up sake. Some of them out of curiosity. This Jesus, who is this? They want to just see. But some come with expectation. There was one woman, the Bible called her the woman with the issue of blood. The woman said, look, all I need is a contact. And that contact does not have to be scheduled or planned. It can be accidental. I just want a contact with him. If I can contact him, touch him, I'm good. That's expectation. That's how expectation speaks. Expectation will say something like this. When I come to the service on Sunday, before anything happens, God will touch me. I will be healed. I feel sick in my stomach, but when I enter that church today, I will be healed. I feel lightheaded, but when I enter that church today, whoever comes, even if the person comes and sing ABCD, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I was reading a book the other day. I think it was yesterday. And the person said a child that didn't know what to say in prayer just wrote A, B, C, D to God. Up to Z. He said, when somebody now asked him, I said, why did you write A, B, C, D to God? He said, I figured out that since I don't know what to say, God can arrange my needs from the alphabet. And figure out what I wanted to say and bless me. You know, it's an hilarious one, but what I'm trying to say is this. It doesn't matter what he said. If there is expectation, you can have manifestation. I see somebody in this week experiencing manifestation in the name of Jesus. So we have worry as a negative atmosphere. We have unbelief as a negative atmosphere. Another negative atmosphere I will just quickly talk about before I begin to round up is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. When we pray, we need God to show his power in our behalf, on our behalf. Now, God said, my recipe for showing my power in your behalf is that the people you have power over, you to show power over them. Unforgiveness is forgiveness is you using the power of choice to let somebody go. That's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not somebody wronged you and the person was sorry, the person was remorseful, the person recognized that they really did you wrong and they came back to you and say, oh, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And they roll on the floor. That sometimes happens. And then you say, don't worry. That's okay. There are sometimes they will not say anything. These people will offend you. They won't even know, number one, there's that part. They won't even know that they have offended you. Because some people, they are offended that the usher told them to sit down where they told them to sit down. So as they are praying, they are just, if not for church, me, back in the day, me, one girl just tell me, go and sit down there. No! They don't even know why. And so the person is bottled up. The person that offended themselves doesn't know that they've offended. So that's a category. There's also another category of people offending you, doing things to you. They know, and you know. But nobody wants to say, I'm sorry. But forgiveness is you using your power of choice. Because you see, forgiveness is a decision. Forgiveness is something you decide to make happen, irrespective of what happens from the other side. That's why the Bible says in Mark chapter 11 and verse 25, the Bible says, when you stand praying, forgive. It didn't say when you stand praying, go and convince the person that hurt you to tell you sorry. Because sometimes it will never happen. I'll be husband. I'm asking you now. Let me not look in the direction of any husband. But sometimes there is a wrong. Somebody is not going to say, I'm sorry. In fact, sometimes it looks like as if the person that was right is the one that will now wake up and say, I think I need to go and tell this person I'm sorry. Because this guy is not going to tell me I'm sorry, or this lady is not going to tell me I'm sorry. But I have the power to forgive. You do. Oh, they've hurt me, Pastor. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know what my father did. When I was young, when I needed him the most, I suffered abuse. I suffered this. I suffered that. I suffered it. I'm sorry about that. But I can still tell you, you have the power to forgive. You have the power to release the person. Jesus forgave people. Not when they came to say, I'm sorry. Before they came to say, I'm sorry. You know when he was hanging on the tree? He said, Father, what? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. These people were not crazy people. They were people that opened their eyes and they had plotted for Jesus for several years. Since the day Jesus started to do his ministry, they have been planning to kill him. And Jesus is saying they don't know what they are doing. He exercised the power of forgiveness over these people that had wronged him. Because he knows that the principle or the atmosphere of prayer needs forgiveness to thrive. I can't come to church, lift up holy hands, shout, and there's somebody I'm holding grudges again. I have a heavy heart against them. And sometimes the person is even near you. You're holding holy hands, and you're like, you do, sister. If I bring down this hand, fire will fall. And it will be on you. Because that's how some of the time we are in church, you're like, ah, she's even happy. After what she said to me, after what she did, you know, look at what she said. You know, sometimes the way some of us think is that the people that have wronged us, something bad will happen to them. Talk to me. Somebody did you something, they will reap the reward. Like something evil will happen to them. And sometimes evil doesn't happen to them. Then the person will now come, he says, just come there. And then say, Pastor, he's about to preach. Say, excuse me, sir. They give him a mic. Say, praise the Lord. Look at what the Lord has done. A new car is outside. You're like, are you kidding me? With that, with all the things this person did to me, God is still blessing them. You know, sometimes it looks like that. Give them, leave them, let them go. Forgive them. Your mother-in-law, forgive her. Your mother-in-law, yes, forgive her. It's okay. She came, she ate your food. She did everything. She now went back and started talking about your food. Say, you don't know how to cook. Why didn't she tell me my presence? Why is it that they, people are wicked. Oh. But God is telling us this morning, look, prayer needs an atmosphere. And it's an atmosphere where you forgive. I understand it. I understand that people can do you strong things. Oh, yeah. I've been a recipient of some very negative vibes, you know. Even in my family, I have had some negative vibes. I remember sometime in high school, I told a friend, and I wasn't making this up. I told him, I said, I hate somebody in my family. I said, I hate him. And that hate him, if he was in the country where you people have gone, I can shoot him. At that time, I was that angry. I was that bitter. But I let him go. Because I have the power. Because you see, what unforgiveness does to you is not to hurt the person, it's to hurt you. I think it was somebody that said that unforgiveness is like you drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. No. Release them. Can somebody say, I will release them? The them can be Pastor. It will release them. Say somebody say, I will release them. Because Pastor, maybe Pastor, he gave one illustration and you had spoken to him on the phone. You are like, look at this man putting my business in the open. And you are angry. Forgive him. Amen. Because God will answer your prayers in the name of Jesus. Now let me round up with this positive atmosphere that you need to put in the place of prayer. Because this month, before the end of this month, you will receive some answers in prayer that you are not expected before. They will be bigger than your expectations. In the name of Jesus. Positive atmosphere, expectation. Oh, it's like the negative, the opposite of the negative, unbelief. Expectation. See, every time you show up in prayer, ladies and gentlemen, be expectant. I know that sometimes because you have talked to God about that thing before, and that thing is not new. There are some people listening to me this morning, they have old problems. But can I still tell you that when you still show up in the presence of God, expect results. Can somebody say amen to that? I don't care how old the problem is. And I understand. Don't get me wrong. I'm not speaking as if I don't know reality. I understand. I understand where some of us are. I understand where our family are. I understand some of the things that we have done in the natural to cooperate with God so that thing will be resolved. And it has not been resolved. But please, don't throw away your expectation. Don't throw away your expectation. No matter how bleak the situation is, just hold on to your expectation. What made Abraham to eventually have Isaac? What he was holding on to expectation. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4, he said, against natural expectation, believed in hope. He was holding on to hope. He knew that the God who had promised is able to do it. It does not matter how late, it does not matter when, he can do it. Hold on to it. The Bible says in Proverbs 23 and 18, he says, your expectation will not be cut off. And I say concerning somebody this morning, your expectation will not be cut off.
I decree concerning somebody this morning, your expectation will not be cut off.
It's a positive vibe, a positive atmosphere where you are expectant when you come before God, whether in public prayer or personal prayer. One of the things you can tell God is, God, I know you can do it. Like the man of God said the other time, God, I know you are good. That's a good expectation. Telling God you are good is telling God, I know I can receive good. It doesn't matter how long this matter had been, I know I will receive good in the name of Jesus.
Another atmosphere which ties in line with some of the things I've been saying with prevailing prayer is we need to have an atmosphere of continuity or persistence. Persistence.
The power of prayer is not in just starting to pray. The power of prayer is not to have a personal prayer life and just start it. It's in the continuance. In fact, I have found that in scriptures, that anything we have to do for God and with God, many of the times we don't receive the fullness of what we need to receive from it when we start. It's when we continue. John chapter 8 from verse 31. Jesus telling the Jews that believed on him that if you continue in my word, some people will jump to 32 and they will say something like, and the truth shall make you free. The truth that makes free is not the truth that you have heard once. It's not that the truth that you have believed once. It's the truth you continue in. Continuity, persistence is the key. Consistency is the key to it. So Jesus told the disciples that believed on him, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth. I thought it was the truth we were hearing. It means that knowing the truth is a function of continuation. It's not just, I just heard it. There are some people that have heard the word of healing. They've believed it. You have just heard it. If you continue to hear it, you continue to believe it, you will receive the truth. And the truth will superimpose itself on the fact. And it will suspend the fact. I see somebody experiencing something that is from God. In that very area where you have been troubled, receive from God in the name of Jesus.
Continuity. Continuity. The Bible says in Luke chapter 18 verse 1, it says, men should not quit. Men should persist. Persistence wears down a man. Persistence wore down that judge. That king gave up because of persistence. You know, that's how the devil also does to us, especially in the area of temptation. There are some people, the devil has been tempting you with a particular thing, and some people are hanging around that thing the more. There is nobody, no matter how strong you are, if you hang around any temptation after a long time, you will fall. Let me speak to some young guys here. Don't hang around the thing that will make you fall. You know, several years ago, I told myself, I won't just be hugging people anyhow. You know, I know I'm in the United States. People like to greet and hug. But me, I know that this hugging is not helping me. So I will not, I'll just shake you. Yeah. Some people say, oh, my pastor, you renew your mind. Yes, I will renew it. And I will shake the person. And that will be fine. But some people want to hang around. Now, don't get me wrong. I hug people. Don't say that. No. I'm just saying at that time, I needed to condition my mind, and I needed to not stand around something that will make me fall, because persistence wears down a man. Some people are hanging around things that will wear them down. Some of you, that Instagram will wear you down. The things that you are looking at somebody shake something, somebody doing something like that. Delete it. Amen. Because it's going to wear you down. It's going to take you out. The Bible said this man doesn't know God, but persistence of this woman. The man said, you know what? I will give you persistence. What down that man? So in the place of prayers to be persistent. Don't give up, sir. Don't give up, man. Don't give up about that thing. Don't give up about that child. Don't give up about that family member. Don't give up about that job. Don't give up. Don't let the devil convince you that you need to cope. No. If the word of God says it clearly that it's for you, you can take it. If God says healing is for you, you can have it. You don't have to live with any condition. You don't have to live with one headache. Some people will say, it's my headache. It normally comes at this time of the month. No. You be persistent like that headache has been persistent. And say the word of God that by his stripes, I am healed. So, continuance. That's what I've just come to say this morning. Let's not give up. I understand
The thing has not happened yet. I understand you don't have that husband yet. I understand the job has not yet come. I understand where you are with what you have. But understand this. Persistence is a major atmosphere in prayer. We just keep at it. We just stay in the word. We just stay believing. We just stay expecting. We just stay not worrying. We just stay forgiving. Because the more we continue, we will reap. Let me close with this scripture. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. The Bible says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not." So we don't reap because we sow. We reap because we don't faint. We don't reap because we started. We reap because we continued. There are many people that have said it's not working. The reason why it's not working is because you didn't continue it. The reason why it's not working is because you stopped. The reason why it's not working is because you cast away your confidence. Hebrews chapter 10 says, casting not away your confidence, because it has a great recompense of faith. So you hold on. You hold on to God. I know that situation looks bleak. Still hold on to God. Still hold on to God. Forgive people. Still hold on to God. Be expectant that God will do something. Still hold on to God. And continue. That's my challenge to you this morning, Victory House. God is the God that answers prayer. God is a good God. And He's waiting for you to speak and not give up. Don't faint. Don't give up over that family member. Yes, they've not given their life to Christ. Oh, but keep on. Keep on believing God for their life. The Bible says in Psalm 2 and number 8. Psalm 2 verse 8. It says, "Ask for the heathen for your inheritance. The uttermost part of the earth for your protection, possession." So you can ask for people. You can believe God for your boss. You can believe God for your spouse. For family members. And you can stay with God until He does it. Don't give up. Don't give up. Look at your neighbor, say, "Never give up." Create an atmosphere. Persistence in prayer. Continue steadfast in prayer. Never give up. In Jesus' name.